It is so good to be here. I am very, very thankful to be with you. And I'm going to show you in just a moment one of the reasons why I am so, actually two reasons why I am so grateful to be here. One thing I want to make a suggestion is that you take some notes. Write some of these verses down. There's going to be a lot of them. And, you know, part of the problem that I have with Pastor Dieter at the moment, he did not give me like 5 days, okay? So I'm limited with time. So I'm going to give you a few verses to look at, and I want you to go back and check them out. And as I stated earlier, okay, I'm available for all easy questions. Pastor Dieter, he gets the hard ones. A couple of reasons why I'm really thankful to be here, all right? There's me. Last year, that was April 2022. You can see I'm attached to who I identified. Her name is Greta, all right? Greta held the chemo drugs that were being pumped into my body, all right, because I have cancer. Why did I call her Greta? She has four Hot Wheels. She has a spine of steel, and she was made in Germany, all right? So I figured since I was going to spend so much time with her, I needed to give her a name. And so either you laugh, you cry, and I chose to try to laugh even at that. All right? And then, there was another one. There's another picture. Oh, there it is. Thank you. There's me last September, all right? Because of the cancer, it reduces your white blood cell count. Someone can sneeze about 5 miles away, I would catch a cold, all right? There I am in the hospital with a pneumonia, both lungs. When I left the hospital, I was able to walk about 200 feet with a walker, all right? And so I am really, really grateful that here I am at over 8,000 feet or close to it, and I'm able to stand and to share a few thoughts with you, all right? And I'm also thankful that Pastor Dieter, that he's up here, and I'm glad he is speaking, and I am thankful, you know, you may have noticed his sense of humor. All right? You either laugh or you cry through the midst of your pain and suffering. And the way he's dealing with it, you know, I hear that humor. I see that smile on his face. And I'm saying, you know what? He's fighting the good fight. And I just love that. All right? So today we want to talk about this holiday called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Now, this story starts in the most important book in the Bible, and I can't explain to you why it's the most important book because I don't have all that time, but it is the most important book in the Bible. It's the book of Leviticus, all right? No Leviticus, the entire biblical story would have fallen apart, all right? It's that important. And without the book of Leviticus, what Jesus did for us, it would not have mattered, because before God does anything in human creation, he tells us what he's going to do, all right? So in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 23, we have the foundation of what Jesus did for us, all right? And he made atonement. If you would, turn to Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32. Let me read that real quick. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 26. This is what it says. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among the people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. So that's where this story of the atonement starts. All right? And this, of all the holidays in the Bible, this is the most important, this is the most holiest of holidays, starting in Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. All right? We see Jesus fulfilling this. So it is absolutely important, I think, for you to understand what your Jesus was doing for you when he surrendered his life at Calvary, when he made atonement for your sin. A couple observations from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 to 32. One, we notice that the Lord is the one who is speaking. So the Lord is giving instructions on what we should do. This holiday, this celebration, it starts on the 10th day of the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. Well, that day starts tonight at sundown, all right? And because what Jesus did for us, it's not necessary for us to be going through this practice. But this is just the foundation of what Jesus did for you. But my Jewish people worldwide, they're going to be doing some of this stuff, all right? You will notice it's a holy gathering. If you look on the internet, you can find some pictures of what's going on in Jerusalem right now. At the wall, there are thousands upon thousands of Orthodox Jewish people gathering. And I was there a couple years ago. And in that space where you see all these people gathering, there's probably between 40 and 50,000 people there. It's incredible. So it's a holy gathering. Another observation is you are to humble yourself. And we see that requirement a couple times in that passage. Another observation, we are to present an offering by fire. Right? A problem that we have today, there is no altar. There's no place to bring an offering. All right? You also notice that this during this day of Yom Kippur, there is no work, all right? For those who decide to work on Yom Kippur, what was God's response? God said that he would destroy them. They would be cut off. Their lives would come to an end. And this statute was to be a perpetual statute throughout our generations. So, today, starting tonight, in religious Jewish homes, Jewish people are going to try to practice some of the requirements from Leviticus chapter 23. For example, in Leviticus 23, it talks about a fast, all right? So most Jewish people, the religious ones especially, they will be fasting, not for 24 hours, but they will be fasting for 25 hours because they want to make sure, you know, they don't make a mistake. And all right. Another thing that they do, they will abstain from all sexual activity. All right. This is a day where there is no sex. And it's interesting. All right. Why do I say that? Because from the garden, one of the commands that was given to Adam and Eve was what? To procreate, to have sex. And on this holiday, they are called not to do that, all right? On this holiday, most Jewish people, they will walk to synagogue. Most Jewish people will not wear leather because they think that leather will remind God of what happened when Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the word, and they were serving, they were building and serving the golden calf. So they don't wear leather. On this holiday in Israel, there is absolutely no driving. Okay, if someone is in their car on Yom Kippur and they're driving, people will actually pick up stones and throw stones at their vehicles. All right, this is a holiday when Jewish people, where they want to mend all of their relationships with people. So this is a day of when people start to reconcile. All right. And now this is really, really interesting. You could go to YouTube and the internet and you could see some of these things happening. What religious Jewish people will do on this holiday, they will take a chicken, all right? They will take a chicken, they will cut its throat, and they twirl it above their heads, all right? And what are they doing? What are they trying to say when they do that event? They know that they need to be covered by blood, because that's what the Day of Atonement was. It was the covering by these blood sacrifices. So they take the chicken, they're waving it. They know they need to be covered by blood, but here's the problem. It's the wrong type of blood, and it's not being offered at the altar in Jerusalem, because there is no altar in Jerusalem, so there's no place to present that sacrifice. All right. So what are the origins of this holiday? The origins of this holiday, they come from the Torah, from the first five books. So let's take a couple of, let's look at a couple of these verses real quick. And again, this is where I want to encourage you to write these verses down and go back and look at them, all right? And remember, I'm available for easy questions. Pastor Dieter, he gets the hard ones, all right? So not only is Leviticus 23 very important in this celebration, so is Leviticus chapter 16. So Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, this is what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." All right. So the first thing we read about this celebration, all right, Moses was giving Aaron, who was the high priest, he's not allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies with only a few exceptions. Look at verse 16, chapter 16, verse 17, excuse me. It says, "When he goes to make atonement in the holy place, no one will be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all of the assembly of Israel." All right? And then verse 30, this is what it says. "For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord." So on one day on the calendar, one day, the high priest was authorized to go in to the Holy of Holies. He was to take in blood, all right, and he was to make atonement for himself, for his household, so for the priesthood, and then for the entire assembly, for all of Israel. And it only happened on that day. Jump, if you would, to Exodus chapter 30. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 10, this is what it says. Exodus chapter 30, verse 10. "Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord." All right? So remember, a very special event once a year. All right? So as a high priest was called to go into that space to make atonement, this is very, very serious. If the high priest failed in what he was called to do, the odds are he was going to die in the process. But if the high priest, as he presented those offerings the way God instructed him, all right, he would come out of the Holy of Holies. And it meant that their sin was atoned for. It meant that their sin was covered. And it was like a new beginning. All right, because they had a clean slate between them and God. Moses' instruction about atonement, again, comes from the Torah, all right? Now, you will notice, if you read through the Torah, there are lots of offerings. There are burnt offerings, there are peace offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings, festival offerings, wave offerings, okay? But only at this time of the year, this was a very special type of sin offering, all right? And this was the only time that that sin offering was accepted and it was received. All right? Okay. And again, Aaron had to do things God's way or it would not count. Now, what's really interesting, in Leviticus chapter 4, there are these four principles that we learn from this holiday, from the sin offerings. All right, Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 28. Here's the first one, okay? This is substitution. This is what it says. If his sin which he has committed is made known to him, then he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without defect, for his sin offering which he commits. So the first thing that we realize in this holiday, in this celebration, this first principle deals with substitution. And what's being substituted? In this case, it's a female goat. All right? Why a female goat? Why not a male goat? Why not a bull? The answer is very simple. Because God said. All right? And the Lord said he wanted a female goat, and that's the way it is. All right? So we are to bring a female goat. In verse 29, this is what it says. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 29. This says, he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. All right? So that is identification. Imagine, he puts his hands on the animal's head. So he's now identifying himself with that animal. And what was to happen with that animal? That animal was to be slain. So can you imagine? You know, you put your hands on the animal's head and you cut its throat. It's really bloody. But the high priest was to identify with that animal, all right? Also, we notice in verse 29, another principle is the death of the animal. So when that animal's throat was cut, guess what happened? That animal took the high priest's sin, he took his family's sin, he took the sin of Israel. That animal died. And that animal basically gave the high priest his innocence. And then the fourth principle, and that was, I just mentioned it, the exchange of life. So the animal dies, and what happened to the high priest? He lives, all right? Does that remind you of anything? You know, what did Jesus do for us? He was our substitute, right? He went to the cross so that we would not have to die. What do we do with Jesus? We identify with him. right? As we put our hands, we reach out to touch him in faith. What did Jesus do? He suffered and he died. And in that process, what does he give us? He gives us his righteousness, his holiness. When God the Father sees you as a believer in Jesus, what does God the Father see? My son, my daughter, covered by the blood of Jesus. But we continue. You know, during this celebration of Yom Kippur, there are many attitudes that people had, all right? And let me see if I could just share a few of them. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 1, all right? And in Isaiah chapter 1, in verses 11 to 13, we get an idea of one of the attitudes that was being displayed. Isaiah chapter 1, let me read verses 11 to 13. This is what it says. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of goats, in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assemblies. All right? Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is what it says. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. So one of the first attitudes that people had in this holiday is that they would bring their offerings. They would go to the temple, but they really didn't buy into the program. They really did not believe when that animal was being sacrificed that it was for them. They did not have faith. And when they did not step out as God had called them to do, guess what? The Lord did not accept it. All right? And by the way, a couple days ago, I was with this unsaved Jewish man in Puebla. And he's in his mid-80s, and I went to go visit him. And, you know, we were talking, and he was sharing a few thoughts about Jesus with me. And I'm like saying, wow, this is great. He knows the story. But then he said, but I don't believe any of that. And then I said, well, I know you're celebrating the holidays, the Jewish holidays, right? He says, yeah, but I don't believe any of that either. All right? I said, then why are you celebrating these holidays? Because this is what I've been doing for the last 80 years of my life. You know, going through the motions, but not believing any of it. All right? On the other side, for the person who believed in the process, who believed in what was going on, all right, at Yom Kippur, what happened with that person? That person's sin was atoned for. That person's sin was covered by the blood of those animals. That person had a new beginning with Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 12. I'm pretty sure that you know this verse, okay? Psalm 103, verse 12, it says this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When you believe in what was written, when that sacrifice was presented, when you believe that, guess what? Your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. Guess what? God the Father never saw that person's sin because they were covered by the blood. All right. So today, as I mentioned today, a few moments ago, there is no temple, there is no altar, and there is no sacrifice. So what do we do? All right, what do we do? A little history. In 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and so was the altar where these sacrifices were made. What did the Jewish people do? From 70 AD to 90 AD, there was a conference of religious Jewish leaders. And from 70 to 90 AD, these individuals, they reformed Jewish thought. Remember, up until that point in time, Judaism was a religion that was absolutely dependent upon sacrifices. Sacrifices were at the core of the Jewish world. And if you, and we see it starting in what? In Genesis? It's there, okay? It's part of the biblical message. But when there was no temple, when there was no altar, when there was no place to offer sacrifices, the leaders of the day, between 70 and 90 AD, they decided that they could do two things. They could do good deeds, which are nice. Well, we all like good deeds, right? And they could pray. So between prayer and good deeds, they would consider to be clean before God. And so what do Jewish people do today? Because there's no place to offer a sacrifice, they do good deeds. And they pray. And they're hoping that God will forgive them of their sins. They're hoping that their sin is atoned for. In Isaiah chapter 64, thinking of good deeds, all right? This is a pretty scary verse. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, this is what it says. Isaiah 64, 6, it says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." What this verse is telling us, all of our good deeds are like a filthy rag before a holy God. By the way, that idea of a filthy rag, I think many of you know what that is. That filth, that word in Hebrew, it means a menstrual rag, right? So the best that a human being can do before a holy God is like a bloody rag, all right? So what hope do we have? So prayer is not enough. Good deeds, not enough. What do we need to do? We need, according to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham heard God, and what did Abraham do? He believed God. So at that point, when Abraham, what Abraham received, as he believed in God, with God's message at that time, that was credited to Abraham as righteousness. What do we need to do? We need to approach God with a contrite heart, and we need to believe that these sacrifices that were presented before the cross, those were to make atonement. At this time, when we no longer have an atoning sacrifice outside of Jesus, we're to look to Jesus. And with that, when you believe that, it counts as what? Holiness, righteousness, atonement. Okay, I can go back a little. The Jewish writers of the New Testament, I think they had some of these similar ideas. The first one in John chapter 1, verse 29. Jump to John chapter 1, verse 29. Okay? In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, I think he is preaching. He is speaking. And what does he say? It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, okay? The sin of the world. That is the first principle from Leviticus chapter 4. That is the principle of a substitute. John recognized that Jesus was the substitute. If you would, jump to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says this, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So that's the second principle. That's the principle of identification. So we identify with Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile... Wow, I read the wrong verse. Okay, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also died for our sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having put to death, put to death in the flesh. So we see in that one, so there's that Jesus died so that we would not die. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So there's the exchange right there. So we see the writers of the New Testament were lining up with the same ideas from the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. Now, this is what's really fascinating. There are two rabbis that I want you to take note of. Okay, these two rabbis, they were probably classmates. They were both students of Gamaliel, okay, who was one of the great rabbis in the first century. And these two rabbis, okay, as they were students, they had eventually two different perspectives. One of them, his name is Yohanan ben Zakkai, all right? And this guy was an absolute rock star in the Jewish world back in his day. When he was on his deathbed, all right, when he was getting ready to die, all right, this is what it is recorded about what some of his followers said to him and his response. The quote goes like this. It says, O master, his disciples exclaimed, O tall pillar, light of the world, mighty hammer, why are you weeping? Ben Zakkai, he answered, I go before the King of Kings, the Holy One, two roads before me, hell and paradise. I do not know if I will be allowed into paradise or sentenced to hell. The other rabbi, the Apostle Paul, he says at the end of his life, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What a difference between these two rabbis, between Ben Zakkai and between the Apostle Paul. All right, both studied, were scriptural, were scholars in their own right. One of them shaped Judaism to become a religion of good deeds, a religion of prayer. All right, and on his death, he had no idea where he was going. He had no idea if his deeds, he had no idea if he was covered by the blood. He had no idea whether or not he was going to be allowed into heaven or whether he would be sentenced to hell. The other one, as we know, the Apostle Paul, this rabbi, this teacher, he was absolutely confident that upon his death, he was going to be ushered from this place into the presence of God. All right. And what a stark difference. All right. When we look at the Jewish world today, they have no idea whether or not they're going to be allowed into heaven. They have no idea. And when they take that chicken on Yom Kippur and they cut its throat and they're waving it around, hoping to be covered by the blood of that animal, they're hoping that that is sufficient. They're hoping that their good deeds are sufficient. They're hoping that their prayer is sufficient. But what a difference I have. All right? I put my trust in Jesus. One of these days, I'm going to die. And guess what? I'm going to heaven, not because of my good deeds. I'm going to heaven, not because of my prayer. I'm not going to heaven because I've been covered by some blood of a chicken, okay? I'm going to heaven because Jesus went to the cross. He is the ultimate blood atoning sacrifice for my sin and for your sin and for the sin of the world. And guess what? When we leave this place, we will be ushered into his presence. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. That's going to be incredible, beyond measure. All right? So when we think about atonement, the Day of Atonement, we see it starts in the book of Leviticus, and ultimately we see this holiday being fulfilled, being completed by Jesus, or in Jesus, all right? This holiday, I think on the Day of Atonement, is when Israel will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But that will not happen, I believe, until the tribulation period starts. All right, so right now, Jewish people are doing something different. But the day will come when they will receive Jesus, those who are alive. They will receive Jesus. Let me take a couple more minutes and just share with you about my ministry. Is everybody familiar with what I do? All right. Let me just give you just a brief idea of what I do. All right. I do evangelism. I do discipleship. And I try to tie together the Old Testament and the New Testament in local churches. When I do evangelism, I wear shirts like this. Can everybody see this? Okay. When I go out to the streets, I proclaim the gospel. I want people to at least know a couple things about me. One, I am Jewish and I believe in Jesus. And the other day, I was in Pueblo. I was at the Green Chili Festival. I was wearing a shirt like that and I was trying to pass out some gospel tracts. Now, just go with me. Okay, let me know if this gospel tract is appropriate for Colorado, okay? It said, "Did Jesus get stoned?" All right? Hold on, let me read the back of it. It says this, "Actually, he was crucified. What do you think we were talking about?" Jesus took the hit for us stoners so we won't get baked. Come on, you know what we're saying. Jesus died and rose from the grave to save us from a very, very bad trip. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For a clearer look at God's bright promises to you. Then I have some contact information. So, you know, we go out, we plant seeds, we water seeds. We're really hoping that people might come to know Jesus at that point in time, but sometimes it takes a while, you know. So we just start that process. Another thing we love to do, okay. Now, I'm really glad I'm not at a Baptist church at the moment. Are you guys Baptists? Okay. One thing we do in South Florida, you know, there's a lot of older people down there, all right? And people look for any reasons to gather. So one thing my wife and I, we are starting to gather with us. One woman, she's 95, and her daughter, who is 70. And so we gather, and we start, and we're playing cards with them, all right? We're playing canasta, you know? And this is what's really cool about this. We'll play a round of cards, all right, a round of canasta. We stop. And then they said, you know, we know you're Jewish. We know you believe in Jesus. We have questions. So we would stop and talk for about a half hour. Then we go back and we play another round of canasta. And then we stop and talk for another, you know, 20, 30 minutes. You know, we just, that's the process. We plant, we water, and we're using, playing this this card game as a means to get into their lives. And it's like, oh, this is pretty cool, right? Not only do we do evangelism on the streets, but we do stuff face-to-face like that. We also do discipleship. You know, we want to help Jewish people understand how they ought to live when they come to faith in Jesus, all right? Most Jewish people find church very foreign. You know, I did not grow up in the church. So we want to disciple them. We want to help them to understand what church is all about, how to live. And then we drop them off at churches, give them to pastors, and we go find others. And then the other thing we want to do is we want to help people understand the Jewish roots of their Christian faith, all right? You know, what Jesus did for you, all right, the foundation of that is actually in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Exodus. It's there, all right? Do you need to know that in order to go to heaven? No, all right? But imagine this. You get married. And if you told your wife or your husband that you loved him at the day that you made that promise to them, that's good, all right? You're still married. But what would the quality of that relationship be if that was the only time you told your wife or your husband that? You know, you want to spend time with that person and you want to grow with them, right? You want to learn what they're all about and experience in life. Well, you know, not only do we need to believe the gospel, that's good, but we need to understand how the gospel story works, because it just did not appear. It has an incredible foundation in the Hebrew Testament, in the Old Testament. So we need to see that. And the more you see that, the more you understand that, I think the more that you will be drawn closer to Jesus. And so when you start to experience life and the struggles, you'll be able to say, you know what? Confidently, the Lord has this. I'm going to be okay. Deb and I, we have a letter we send out about once a month. Usually we try to email it, all right? If you want to receive it, all you got to do is just fill out that information on the front. Whether you give or not, that's between you and God. But what I would love to do, I want to send you our letter. Why? Because even from, you know, Lake George, you could be praying for us. And I absolutely need my brothers and sisters in Messiah to be praying for us. Let me pray, and then I'll stop. Father, we just come before you. And we're thankful that we can enter into your presence because our ultimate blood atoning sacrifice has been offered. And we want to say thank you that when Jesus says that the law has been fulfilled, he was making a reference to the sacrificial requirements. And because of that, we have this incredible access to you. And we say thanks. So, Father, as we come into your presence, we pray boldly. We pray, Father, for your honor, for your glory, for your will in our lives. Father, we pray that you will use us to build your kingdom. Help us to speak your word as you give us opportunities to do that. Help us not to be shy, but help us to be to serve other people well by sharing your truth with them. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this community. Use them greatly. Bless them as all you can. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. And all of God's kids said,
Amen. Amen.